You have just entered the KDMA podcast. Keyboard plus mouse or die.
Sponsors this week for the podcast include kdmod.com, which you should definitely have checked out this week, as we had some really, really good stuff this week, including a review of the new Sennheiser version of their PC360s, which Brandon, I believe, is wearing right now. The old headset. The 360s. The new model of those is on there. Review by a community member, and it's really good, so go check that out. Also, check out the case modding article that Bob the Red Dino continued. He sent us articles a few months ago, and this time he disassembled his 980 and painted it orange, and it looks sick in his case. Very good job. So make sure you guys check those out. Also, multi-stream, kdmod.com/multi-stream. Make sure you go check that out. It's the best way to watch multiple Twitch streams. So make sure you check it out. Use it if you're streaming with other people. That site is also sponsored by PC Part Picker. The best way to get build guides out there, speaking of which, we put those out this past week. What was that, Tuesday, I think they came out?
Mm-hmm.
So, Tuesday, yeah, put that in there somewhere, Brandon, so we can talk about it. Yeah, new build guides, finally, after a few months. But, yeah, we'll talk about those a little later in this cast. Make sure you go check them out. And, of course, last but not least, brought you by you, viewers like you guys out there, subscribers, people who go visit the site, all the people who support, thank you so much. We could not do what we do without you guys. So thank you so much. And today's date is January 18th, 2015. I did not forget. Scott is not here.
He did forget.
He forgot the date, forgot his commitments, forgot who he cares about.
Forgot what's really important, forgot who's taken care of him all these past years.
Yeah.
You know? I guarantee he didn't once say today's date during his day-to-day.
No. He doesn't even know it's Sunday.
I have a feeling, honestly, when he's on the cast, whenever he says the date, I get this sense that there's this little element of surprise, because I don't think he pays attention to the date otherwise.
He has no idea what day it is ever anymore. And you know he's always looking in the bottom right-hand corner of his monitor, his probably single monitor, on his little Windows taskbar. That's where he gets the date every single time.
Yep. And then and it's a always week goes by, he's completely oblivious until the next week.
Yep.
Scott.
Lives his life a week at a time.
Scott's not here. John is out with his lovely wife. So, the night for her birthday, so he couldn't make it. Unlike Scott, he told me 3 or 4 days ago, though. So I knew that was coming. I tried to get Nikon Punch, but he's a bitch. He went golfing and was tired.
Oh, wow. What a white boy.
Golfing.
It's really hard to swing that little 2-pound stick around.
I know, God.
And then you have
He shot a 134 too. Come on, dude.
It's not like you were trying. I have no frame of reference for how bad that is.
That is a plus 62. It's not good.
All right. That's pretty bad.
I don't even play golf, and I know that's pretty bad.
I know.
Par is 72 usually. So there you go.
Wow.
So it is hard to shoot par. Anyway, that's where everybody is. So we have a small, intimate cast for you guys tonight. More like Nikon pussy. So
yeah, a lot of news confirmed. And stuff though. Still action packed.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened this week. Also, thank you to all you guys. I'll just start out with we had our first extra live stream of the year. Yesterday at Sean's house up at Pappy Station, and raised over $300. Thank you so much to you guys. We will be picking the winner of the copy of GTA 5 for that. We have to manually do it because we don't have a tracker at the moment, so we have to kind of write out all the donation ticket things. Yeah, thank you so much for all the donations. We had a blast playing Gang Beasts for like 4 hours. We also tried out Crawl, which is a very interesting game. I don't know if either of you guys have heard of Crawl.
I know I've heard of it, but refresh my memory. I can't remember what it is.
It's an early access pixel art game, but you start, so one person starts out as the hero in a dungeon, like just sort of a regular gauntlet style RPG sort of deal, and the other three start out as ghosts that you can then turn into enemies in the dungeon, and the goal is to kill the guy as quickly as possible, and then whoever kills him becomes the hero again.
Right.
So, and you can eventually evolve the monsters you become. We had a little bit of fun with it. We didn't really get what was going on. Like, it doesn't tell you all that much, so it was kind of hard to really enjoy it. Like, we played it for about 45 minutes or something like that, but I could see it being really fun if you had people who were into that game type. But, right. like, not all of us were, like, super into that. Also, we didn't know what was happening at all, like, for the whole beginning of it. But Gang Beast is still ridiculous. I made a montage from our Gang Beast thing. It'll be posting this week on our YouTube channel. So it is 3 minutes of just hilarity and ridiculousness, because that game...
That game is just goofy as shit.
It's fucking bonkers. So, yeah, we did that. And shout-outs to Aurelian, who rejoined the team this year. And she also streamed for Extra Life yesterday. And she raised slightly more money than we did.
Oh, just a little more.
Just slightly. She raised $5,200.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
So the
sounds like Aurelian.
Yeah, the team is up to like...
just started and she's already going hard.
Yeah, the team is already at like $5,500 or something like that. So starting off the year strong, we set our goal at $250,000 again, so... you guys can go to the Extra Life page. You can join the team and also raise money for it. Once again, it's called KB Mod, the Internet Famous. We didn't change the name or anything. One interesting thing I found on the site this year, since I was registered, is that they show you all your totals from previous years and then total it up and tell you how much you've raised for Extra Life over the years.
Oh, cool. I think that's always been... A feature, but I think it might have been a little bit buried. Maybe they made it more prominent.
Yeah, it's way more prominent this year. You can like check out. It says actually at the top of your main page how much you've raised.
That's good.
Which is cool. So, yeah. So we had a blast doing that. Our next stream. This is to get this in your minds already. February. Wait, let me check the calendar to make sure that's the right day. February 21st. We'll be doing a 12-hour LAN. With our testing, it'll basically be the test run of our new stream station that we have, which has 3 live gamer HDs in it. So shout outs to Gunrun for some suggestions on that as well. But we couldn't have built, at least gotten the live gamers. Bob actually got the processor through other channels, but, we couldn't have bought the live gamers and stuff without you guys subscribing and supporting. So, thank you so much for that. So yeah, I played that. I'll just continue into what I've played. I have been continuing my Dark Souls playthrough. I am at Gwyn. I'm at the last boss. I just banged my head off Gwyn for like 3 hours last night.
Lord of Tinder,
yeah. Just swiping right, sitting there in the kiln. Swiping right all day. Waiting for the cursed one to come in there and join him on his quest on Tinder.
So, you said you banged your head against the wall, or banged your head against it for 3 hours. Is he really that hard for you, considering how much you played the game? Or are you doing, like a challenge
I've
run?
Beaten the game 5 or 6 times, but I've just, like, I've had some, also had some really odd, whether it be RNG or just, like, unlucky situations happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I wiped on Seath, like, 10 times. Seath is so easy.
He's really easy.
He's super easy. Like, I'm pretty sure... That's funny. Yeah, but I got destroyed, man. I also...
My most recent playthrough of Dark Souls 1, Seath actually killed me a few times, and I was really surprised. Like, I didn't get stuck on him, but I was actually shocked at the fact he was actually killing me.
I put up, actually, I've been putting up, like, editing down the playthrough and putting it up on YouTube, and I actually, there's the whole episode that's just Seath wipes. Like, it's just me reacting, going, what the fuck was that, basically, like, 8 or 9 times in a row. Because he did some shit that I've never seen him do, like, mechanic-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, what is he doing? This isn't making any sense at all.
He's a weird boss if he actually lives long enough. to do everything that he does.
Yeah, like at one point, but when, so for those that don't know what Seath is, he's a giant dragon guy. He's invulnerable until you run past him, and then you have to hit this little crystal twig thing, and then once you hit that, you can kill him. But so he did the full room curse thing. He does this whole room attack that he will only do now and then. He did that while I was hitting the twig.
That's weird.
At one point, and I was like, that, I don't think that's supposed to happen, like, AI wise, but it did. So
I don't think he's supposed to start with that.
Yeah. So I was like, what is he doing? So I ended up getting cursed twice, and just all sorts of weird shit happened in this playthrough. But yeah, having some troubles with Gwyn. So
yeah.
Having trouble finding a match on Tinder with him, but you know, we'll get it. We'll get it together.
You'll find somebody.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Gwyn and I'll find somebody.
Don't worry.
What else did I play this week? I played a lot of WoW again. I got like all the loot in the raids this week, so that was cool.
The loot.
Yeah, I upgraded like 5 or 6 pieces this week in our guild raids. So, if you want to come play WoW with us, we're on the Mel'Ganis server, US, internet famous as the guild. So anyone can join. But that is actually about it for me. Oh, we played COD 4 on the community night as well, and that was a blast. That game is still real good. 7 years ago. So still $20 on Steam too. People are like, oh, just go grab it. I'm like, oh damn, it's still $20.
That game ought to be free at this point.
Thanks, Activision.
It really should be.
Fucking Megan, I'm sorry, Megan just tweeted at APL. She didn't tag APL in this, but she pimped Spreadshirt. She managed to do that. Upset that APL missed the podcast. Show love for committed members like Nip Nops and Blacklight Attack.
Buy their shirt. The
salesman.
So yeah, and tomorrow night, don't miss this either. I'll just finish up with this. Trackmania 2 Stadium, which is a fucking blast. It's also like $5. Community night on that tomorrow. Out.
Tomorrow being Monday.
Monday, yes. Monday the 19th.
The day before this podcast posts for audio listeners.
Yes, exactly. Oh, shit, I don't have work tomorrow. I realize that.
Same. I mean, I'm going to be working from home, but I don't have to get up and go places.
All right, Blah, what about you? What did you do this week?
Oh, a whole lot more Pokemon, really. So somebody right before the cast started was like, hey, Blah, you got to catch them all. Good news. I did that. I finished it. I caught all of them.
Damn,
every
son?
Single Pokemon.
How many are there?
There is, I think it's 720 of them.
Dear Christ.
And this is exempting event only Pokemon that they only distribute at certain times. It's usually like some legendary like Pokemon that created time, space in the universe, and they only give it out at like certain points, that, you know, distributed from like GameStops or whatever. So those are excluded, but there actually is a reward for getting all of the Pokemon. Once you've collected all the non-event Pokemon, you get something called a Shiny Charm, which doubles your chances of finding what's called a Shiny Pokemon.
That's like half the streams on Twitch, too, is people hunting for those things.
A majority of streams on Twitch and a large growing site, a large growing niche on our site is people just hunting for Shinies. Now, for those of you who don't play Pokemon, a Shiny Pokemon is a Pokemon that is anywhere from slightly to greatly different color from its normal counterpart. It's the same every time. So right now I'm trying to get a shiny Pawniard. Pawniard is a red and steel color Pokemon. Mm-hmm. His shiny version is blue and gold. So it'll be the same every time. It's not like you're going to get some crazy shiny that looks way cooler than another. It's not like a
CSGO. No new abilities either. It's just a color.
No, no new abilities. It's functionally identical to its non-shiny counterpart, but it looks different. And that's the key. Now, a shiny Pokemon to be found in the wild is about a 1 in 4,000 chance. A little bit less.
That is ridiculous.
It's about a 1 in 4,000 chance. And what you can do in Pokemon is there's a mechanic built into the game that will allow you to, if you do a certain method of chaining them, you have a little radar that you can use to find Pokemon in the grass. And if you use that and you basically chain them together like a million times without fucking it up, you with each consecutive Pokemon you find, it has a greater and greater chance of being shiny until it's something like 40 times the normal rate. So you're pretty guaranteed after chaining for a while to eventually get one. And then it's always frustrating when you mess up your chain when you're really deep in, when you're at like 100 plus chain and you don't get it. And the shiny charm doubles your chance of finding things both naturally in the wild, and it makes chaining fit much faster. Also, when you breed, there's a way to manipulate. Basically, by breeding Pokemon with a foreign Pokemon, there's a piece of code built into the game that also doubles your chances. So basically, you can get your chances on hatching shiny Pokemon down to 1 in 512.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Which is still kind of ridiculous. So I spent my entire day at work while still working, because breeding Pokemon is a completely mindless, like, one-hand experience. Like, I'm doing it right now. I'm not even paying attention. I hatched a shiny Hawlucha, which is a luchador bird, therefore the greatest thing ever.
Fuerte, but a bird. I'm down.
Yeah, no, it's a fighting flying type, because it's a fucking luchador bird. It's the greatest thing, and its shiny colors are fucking amazing. I got it in 149 hatches, which is really not bad, and I love it more than most real people. So
I love that.
That's what I've been doing with my life. I'm so fucking bored. Like, I'm not even that bored. Like, I'm still hanging out with friends and stuff. I went hiking this morning. Like, I did a bunch of going out and playing games and drinking and stuff this week. Still, all my free time, though, when I'm just, like, alone and I need a game to grind out, I'm just sitting here breeding Pokemon. And I'm probably going to start, like, shiny chaining on streams and stuff.
I need to get my son that so I don't have to parent him.
Yeah, honestly, he would never get in trouble. You don't have to worry about drugs. You don't have to worry about him, like, killing somebody. He will never, ever get into trouble in his life. He also really won't do much else. But other than Pokemon, I've been playing Smash Brothers Melee a lot. And
you went to a tournament, yes?
Yes, yeah. So every week, actually, there's a bar called The Foundry in San Francisco. They have a game night twice a week. And once a week, one of those two game nights on Tuesday, is a Smash Brothers Melee tournament. And they host a whole bunch of different games there, a whole bunch of different tournaments and stuff. But the biggest thing they do is every week there's a Melee tournament. And some big names come out there. We have, in NorCal, we have a fair amount of really good players. If anybody was watching Paragon today, there's a player called Shroomed, who's like top three in NorCal. Very, very good player. He was there when I was there. I got matched against him, I think, my second round. So did fairly poorly against him. He was pretty far into his drinks, and he showed up with the goal of getting absolutely wasted and winning with Mario, who's a like really lackluster character. He played Mario against me. I could tell he was not even fucking trying, and he just absolutely dumpstered me. and I ended up going overall 2-2, which is like not good, but for what I expected, like it's better than what I expected, you know? The only real downside was I felt that my opponents either far outstripped me, like I had no chance in hell of winning, or I far outstripped them, and there was no way I was going to lose to these people. So I didn't really have any like really good match where I feel like I learned a lot, but it's still a great thing. I also had a really weird thing happen to me there. I ended up meeting up with a friend. I hear the guy who on the bullhorns calling people's names for their matches, and I keep hearing this one name, Yamaneko. He's going, Yamaneko, Yamaneko, step up. And I used to play WoW with a guy like in Burning Crusade named Yamaneko. And so
like 8 years ago.
Yeah, like a long ass time ago. Like, so I finally see the guy. I make a mental note of the guy, and I finally see him walk by. I pull him aside. I go, yo, you Yamaneko? He goes, yeah. I go, do you used to play World of Warcraft? He goes, yeah. I used to play World of Warcraft as Gabora on Scylla with a guild called Merciless. He was like, no way. He was like, your brother's rich, and yada yada, you know. We started listing off, naming people. Like, when we played, he lived in New York and I lived in Philly, and then he lived in Florida for a while. Now we both just meet in a random Melee tournament in fucking San Francisco.
That's crazy.
It was out of this world. You know, we caught up and stuff. We played some friendlies. He had a pretty good Jigglypuff, and he kept talking about like how he knew the Ganondorf matchup, and he was one friend plays Ganondorf all the time. And he was going to beat me. And so he beat me pretty soundly a couple times. And I started getting more and more drunk. And eventually I was just like, for some reason, when I get not too drunk, but like pretty significantly buzzed, my movement in Melee, not a whole lot of my other mechanics, but my movement is fucking just on point. My wavelengths are crispy. I'm all over the place, and I get really unpredictable. And so the more I was drinking, the more I was beating him until I was like three stocking him. It was really funny. I could tell he was really frustrated because he was like, he's one of those like Mewtwo King players where he's just like analyzing every angle of the game and working hard to be the greatest. And I'm just drunk and beating him, and he was quite salty, but it was fun. It was fun. That was about it.
Brandone, what did you play this week?
I actually played a fair amount of stuff. Not like a ton of time, but I tried some different things. Mm-hmm. So aside from my normal Hearthstone / ARAM grinding, I tried H1Z1 because I got a key for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that good, I don't think. But it's also hard to tell how much of it is because it's like I didn't find any loot. I played the game for probably, I don't know, 30 minutes or an hour. I'm assuming maybe there's something broken with the loot, but
there
I literally
was.
Didn't find anything.
Jimmy ended up tweeting that they were patching because it wasn't spawning enough.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, like, there's a difference between not spawning enough and, like, literally nothing.
Yeah.
So
they said there wasn't.
So it's
that
it's
wasn't
just
working right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, for me, this is... As much as I love Jimmy Wiz, this is like the best reason you don't buy a game on launch. Because if I had
early
bought this
access,
game,
especially
it doesn't matter. Like early access launch are the same thing.
Yeah, anymore,
well
yeah.
Like I mean, you know, people that bought this game, they're probably people that aren't happy with what they paid for it. So, I mean, I didn't pay for it. I was able to get a key, so I'm not disappointed in my purchase, but it was like I didn't find anything to do over the hour or so that I played it.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from like, you know, make a stick bow and arrow or something. So I don't know. I mean, I'll probably revisit it maybe in like a month or two once mm-hmm. they've ironed out the most egregious issues.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a whole lot to say other than, you know, like I wouldn't get it. I would watch Twitch streams of it. You know, there are people that seem to be enjoying it and have gotten guns and stuff, but it seems like you probably have more fun watching it than you will playing it right now.
Yeah. We'll be having a write-up on it this week. AJ has been playing it all weekend, so he's going to be writing something up on what his feelings are. So look for that.
I also tried the update of Dirty Bomb. They have the closed beta. I guess mm-hmm. they're in beta. Closed beta on Steam. I'm not sure what I think of it. We've talked about it before on the cast, but John and I played together some, and I don't know how I feel about it. The gunplay is just not that satisfying. I think it's the difference between Splash Damage's old games being on the Quake engine,
mm-hmm.
they always had a fantastic feel with the gunplay. I mean, there's no aiming down sights. It took more than a few hits to kill someone. So it was just a different style game than something like Counter-Strike or Call of Duty. And Dirty Bomb is like sort of meshing the two because it takes a few hits to kill someone, but there's also aiming down sights. And when you don't aim down sights, it's really inaccurate. And so I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about the game, honestly. And the one thing, I think the maps are okay.
Mm-hmm.
The maps don't choke like Brink did. So I would say they're definitely avoiding the main problem that Brink had.
Right.
But I just don't know. And I guess they're going to have a whole bunch of different classes. They've got probably a dozen classes you can play. Oh. And they're all unlocked right now for the beta. But it's really, I don't know, it's like it's really difficult to tell which classes are going to go well with other classes, and they don't give good indications about which class does what. So like you have to choose three classes before you start a match, and once you start the match, you can switch between just those three. But you could accidentally like pick two medic type classes and one field ops type class that does artillery.
Okay.
And then it's like, oh, well, I don't need two medics for this game, so now I'm just way more like I'm not very useful to my team.
Right.
There's just a lot of polish they need to do. I'm not ready to write it off, but it's not a game that brings me in and makes me want to keep playing it. It was like I played it for a little while and I was like, okay, you know, it's all right, but nothing grabs me.
Didn't give you that E.T. feel.
No, it did. I mean, E.T., I could play that for just an entire night. Many nights I would just play that over and over. And the thing with E.T., they didn't even have that many maps, but the core gameplay was so good that it just kept bringing me back. I don't know that Dirty Bomb has that. And especially like once it goes free to play and actually some of the classes are locked away and you're going to have to like grind to get perk upgrades and stuff, like it just doesn't strike me as the kind of game that I'm going to want to grind on and you know, grind to unlock classes and stuff. Yeah. So anyway, I hope that they open up the beta more, because they haven't had a whole lot of populated servers. Like they've been populated enough, but one thing that that is kind of annoying when I was playing that may have contributed to not wanting to play it that much is their objective mode. You know, you have one team attacking and one team defending, and it's like a 10-minute map. So if one team attacks and they finish the map in 8 minutes, now you have like a 2-minute wait between rounds. Ugh. So we were sometimes sitting for maybe 20-25% of our game time just waiting for the next round to start. So they just like, there's just a lot of different issues in a lot of different places. Yeah. And I don't know.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. It could be a good game, but I think they have a long way to go to actually capture an audience that's going to stick around and play that game, you know, over and over every night.
Yeah. So,
anyway, so Dirty Bomb. Hopefully they open up more beta keys and people can try it out. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what other people think of it that don't have the historical context that I do of knowing like Splash Damage made literally one of the best games ever, and this game will not compare to that. So they're facing unrealistic standards for me already. So I'm curious what other people think about Dirty Bomb.
I need to play it. I need to actually get some people together and play it, because last time the beta was open, I played it and just had a miserable time. Or are they doing beta phases, or am I thinking of something else?
They're doing, I think they've had a couple phases. They're now on Steam, so I'm assuming they'll just roll beta into the game and at some point make it. I think it's supposed to be free to play, so they'll probably just roll the beta version into the full game and at some point open it up to everyone.
Yeah. I don't know. When I played, it was just kind of a frustrating experience where getting stomped and just not having fun. Felt like there was very little I could do myself with a team. What I'm saying, I need to play with a team. So
yeah. It is definitely a game that benefits from that. I also I tried to play Super Ball, and I don't know if anyone has kept on top of what Super Ball is doing, but they have a beta on Steam, but the only way you can get a key to that beta is by emailing them at their email address. And on their website, they have a version available to download, but it's an outdated version, because now they're working on developing the version on Steam. So anyone who goes to download Super Ball downloads a version that now no one is playing. And so you have like your diehard Super Ball folks probably occasionally playing together on this Steam build that maybe like, I don't know, a couple hundred people have access to. And then all of these people that have a standalone game, unless you went to their website, you wouldn't have no idea, because the standalone game still works. It's just that no one's playing. So
weren't they porting it to like Unreal 4 or something? Isn't that what they were doing?
I don't know. But I was just like, how do you not put in massive letters in your launcher, on your website, like, hey, put your email address in and we'll send you a key. But you literally have to compose an email to a certain email address and ask them for a key. I was like, this
efficient.
You already have people that have installed the game, and those people now are probably never going to play again, because they just go to the server browser and they see zero people. But it's because there's just this tiny, you know, tiny group of beta testers that are now playing a Steam version. I was really mad to see that. And of course, so I got a key to the Steam version, logged on, no one in the game. Oh, and you can't start a game without a full team. So unless you know seven other people, or I don't know if it's 8 or 10 people or whatever, you can't start a game with, like, you know, a couple friends.
Ugh.
The game, from what I can tell, you can't.
That's pretty
anyway,
bad.
Like, this week has been me sort of experimenting with some different games and really coming away from most of them, like, you know, I don't know why I'm wasting my time.
Yeah, 3 unfinished games.
Yeah, so I mean, like, this is, it's sort of, I think it's sort of the reason why I fall into the rut of just kind of playing Hearthstone and playing a League ARAM and kind of playing things that I consistently know I'll enjoy, because sometimes you end up wasting a couple hours on a game that you never go back to, and that was my week. But actually, before the cast, I started Wolfenstein The New Order, because
yes.
I'm determined to play that, and even the beginning, honestly, was way more impressive than
fucking
I expected.
Fucking epic beginning
yeah.
to that game.
Yeah, I didn't realize, like, I was playing it before the cast, and I actually didn't realize I was basically just playing the prologue.
Yeah.
And then it sort of started into the actual sequence. So I'm already impressed about 30 minutes or an hour in with the storytelling of that game, because that's something Wolfenstein has just never had.
Did you?
So I'm looking forward to it.
So how far in did you get? Without, like, getting so specific, did you make the choice yet? That isn't really a spoiler. It's
the choice.
I think so, yes. I've made the first choice.
Okay, all right. As one gruesome-ass scene, by the way.
Yeah.
The first of many very graphic scenes in that game.
one thing that I actually really like, that I just sort of discovered as I started, probably 20, 30 minutes in, is the perks you get. Like, you have to sort of complete little different objectives, like get this many headshots or whatever, aiming down sights. And I didn't realize that was actually upgrading your skills and making you more powerful.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, now I'm paying attention to that instead of just running around with dual wielding automatic guns, which you can do on the medium difficulty, and just, like, completely lay out everyone. I was like, oh, okay, well, I want to kill some guys with grenades. I should kill some guys with a pistol, you know, to, like, upgrade all my skills throughout the game. So I'm pretty happy with, like, the progression stuff and the story so far.
I hope you enjoy it through the end. Also,
yeah.
BJ Blazkowicz, that dude has sex like nobody's business in that game.
I mean, he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Non-gaming, so. I finished up The Wire. Fantastic show.
Man, I couldn't get beyond the second season, but
it's pretty good.
I got cable back.
You should revisit it.
I got cable
back.
Oh,
yeah, I saw your tweet. What was the impetus behind that?
I went and did... Well, actually, the impetus was I went... So for those that don't know, I stopped using cable 3 years ago because I was like, this is a waste of money. There's no reason for me to have this. I'm playing games or doing whatever most of the time anyway. I can try to get, you know, hockey through other means with a VPN and Game Center and stuff. So there was this article that was linked on Lifehacker, and it was to a Slate thing that was like a calculator for, like, streaming services versus your cost, your cable. Because, like, what ends up happening is you get rid of cable, and then you end up getting things like Hulu Plus, which you may not have gotten when you had cable. Which lets you get episodes faster and unlocks a few more shows on that service. You know, Netflix, obviously, Amazon Prime, and then I also had the VPN and Game Center. And it turns out the price raises that have gone on with Game Center, it was actually ending up costing me more to have internet plus that. So I just was like, because I already have Fios internet, so I was like, I'll just get the cable back. So I end up getting it back. It's going to save me a little bit of money every year, and it's more, I mean, it is just flat out more convenient.
Yeah, I think all of the cable providers now are, like, they realize cord cutting is a real thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, I have Comcast and I get a discount on my internet because I have cable too. So it's like the cable doesn't really cost me that much. And during football season, I want to watch football. And so it's more like, it's not worth my time to cancel cable for half the year when I also lose my discount on my internet and all of that. Like, they really push you into the double, triple play stuff. And I think, yeah, you're right. Like, if you're canceling your cable and you can get by with like just Netflix, then mm-hmm. yeah, you'll definitely save a lot of money. But if it's like Netflix and Hulu Plus and maybe one more service, and like when yeah. HBO Go launches standalone, like between those three, you're already paying for the cost of cable, basically.
I mean, part of me wanted to wait because supposedly later this year, Verizon's going to launch their a la carte service. But there's no guarantee that like the local sports channel that has the Penguins on it would be on that. Like, it'd probably be more of a major networks thing. So I just went and did it. But shout outs to Verizon, though, for being way fucking better at customer service than, of course, the notorious Comcast and Time Warner, were voted the two worst companies in America this year again for customers. Verizon dude was like, you know, everyone always got that joke about the cable guy like coming, like, you know, if they give you a window of like 15 hours, the cable guy is going to come and do the installation. They gave me a 3-hour window. Then they called me before and were like, he's going to come between 8:45 and 9:15. And he came right on the dot at 8:45 and installed everything. Like, it was fucking awesome. Like, called from, like, I saw the van pulled up, but then he called again from the van to make sure, like, everything was cool with him coming in right then. Like, shout out to Verizon for running a tight ship and not being a bunch of yeah. fucking dicks.
I wish I could get Verizon out here. Yeah. I had it at my parents' house and miss it dearly.
Yeah, I've only had to really deal with their customer service, like, 3 or 4 times, but every time it's been awesome. I also have, like, there's, like, a battery backup thing for the ONT box that's in my basement. And I could not figure out how to get the door open. It's got like one of those like Power Wheels batteries. If you guys don't know what Power Wheels are, little cars that little kids can drive around. Not like a remote control car. They actually sit in it and drive it. Power Wheels. It has like a battery from one of those in this backup box. And I could not figure out how to get this thing open. And so I was like, dude, this needs replaced. It's been dead for like a year. And so he's like, if you had called Verizon, they'd have charged you $60, but I'll just go fucking get one out of the van, put it in there. I was like, sweet, dude, thank you. So saved myself money there too, and finally got the beeping in my background to stop for anyone who knows my
show. Oh, that's what that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's what that was.
I've noticed that for many podcasts now.
Yeah, it's like
I always check to see what time it is. So I'm like, does he have an alarm or something? But it's always weird times.
Yeah, it's like once, it would go off like once an hour, basically being like, hey, the battery's dead, fix this.
That's hilarious.
And I sat back there like trying to get the door open on it forever, and I could not get it open. And I didn't want to break it, so I like didn't even fuck with it. But yeah, back on cable. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break, and then we'll be right back with some news, including the new build guides. Miss them, you can go check them out on the site. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Mark this time down so I can.
Oh. I just fucking hatched my shiny Pawniard. Oh, yeah.
What is a Pawniard? Tell me what this Pokemon is.
All right. He's a little dude. He does evolve, but the base form is a little dude that looks like a tiny samurai made entirely out of knives.
All right, cool. I'm down.
Right?
Now. Yeah.
Right? You down?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
I'm gonna tweet him so you can look what he see what
that
his
seems
shiny
like the most efficient thing for a samurai to be made of. To be honest,
right?
Bunch
exactly.
of knives.
And like, you know, in the games they all have these little like they're called Pokédex entries, and it's like a little blurb of information about what they do in the wild and what their behaviors are. And yeah. they're all super fucked up for this one. It's like they travel in swarms and just like cling to things to like kill them.
Jesus.
Like they just stab themselves into them because they're just like made of blades. It's really fucked up.
Good lord.
Oh, that's hype. I'm
there
excited.
It is. Katie Zen linked it. Oh, he is made of all knives. Jesus.
It's just all knives. And then his evolved form is even
cooler. Happiest I've ever seen, blah.
It's the happiest I've ever been. Nah, the happiest I've ever been was when I got my shiny Hawlucha. I like Pawniard not as much as Hawlucha.
You know, one thing about Wolfenstein that kind of annoyed me, because it's made by id, the frame rate is locked at 60.
Like, well, it's made by Machine Games.
No, I know that, but know. Still.
Yeah.
Still, it calling the shots.
Yeah, true.
The fact that it's hard-coded at 60 FPS was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, that intro with the fucking beach landing, dude.
Yeah, the game looks beautiful, but I thought like it would play so much smoother if it was playing at 120.
Yeah. I also
like I found a console command that would uncap the frame rate, but it made the game faster.
Yep.
And it was so I had to That's take the it old off crew glitch. It, like the subtitles were not matching up with the dialogue and stuff. It was really bad.
Yeah, it's a beautiful looking game. I like that they kept all the old armor and health mechanics, kind of. Like, you collect armor scraps and that, you know, replenishes your armor. And
only thing I don't like is that I really feel like I should just pick that stuff up automatically. Because you're just walking around spamming your button all the time.
Yeah, it's Bioshock Infinite shit. Just spamming E or whatever the pickup button was. All right. First thing here, the Build Guides came out this week, and just to let you guys know, we are considering doing a sort of secondary short tech show that we've been talking about a little bit when we do the Build Guides. It's not going to happen this month, obviously. Next month, we might be doing that, so be on the lookout for that. It'll be a second, like, mini podcast thing. But we did put out the January Build Guides, and what did we mainly? We mainly just upgraded.
Well, the biggest change, biggest substantive change, was we changed the professional to have SLI 970s.
Yes.
Because before we had put a 980 in it, but the price on the 970s is just too good for what they are.
Yeah.
And I mean, we just fit, like, we didn't compromise the 1800 at all. We literally, well, we came in, what, 39 cents under 1800. And that 1800 build is just an absolute monster. Like, that is, for my money, that is the best build you can make for $1,800. Doesn't even matter who you are.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And good news is that RAM is finally somewhat normal. Once again, it's only taken like 2 years. But
yeah, I think I'm, if I had to guess, some of the price, like, I think the prices of DDR3 will stay pretty stable because slowly people will start moving to DDR4 as more stuff starts to support that.
So we also made changes in each build as far as the quality of brands used, because we were able to, like, in everything but the 500, we replaced the Seagate Barracuda with a Western Digital Caviar Blue, because that's also hard drives. Somewhat normal mechanical hard drives, somewhat normal prices now after being pretty expensive for a long time. Mm-hmm. What else do we upgrade here? We got better RAMs and better motherboards.
Yeah, really just, I mean, I think this month we hadn't done builds for a few months since September. but honestly, it's sort of, I mean, one, we just didn't necessarily have the time and we neglected it, so bad on us. But two, not a whole lot has really changed in Q4. If anything, the prices have just come down a little bit on a few different parts. But if you look between January and September, like, not a whole lot has changed. There hasn't been anything groundbreaking. We were just able to eke out a little bit better parts in each one of these builds. So, like, you can pretty confidently use this stuff. A lot of these parts in here are parts that we all own or have used before. So I'm really confident in all of these builds.
Yeah, like Brandon and I think a couple other people actually have that Gigabyte 970.
Yeah, it's a beast. It's a beast.
So we at least a few of us have that.
I'm running with a comfortable right now. It's stock overclocked. I'm running comfortably at plus 173 megahertz, overclocked past that, and 245 megahertz on the memory. So, like, temperature when I was playing Wolfenstein earlier was like 40 degrees.
The so coolers are crazy. Quite nice, plus the power usage. We also upgraded the $1,800 motherboard and the $1,300 motherboard to the much higher end Gigabyte gaming motherboards. So check those out. All
and
these
the one other thing
are...
too, the motherboards in the 800 and above all support SLI and Crossfire.
Yeah, I put a comment under it.
Yeah, I did see your comment, but I did want to mention that when we put together these guides, a lot of the choices that we make are specifically to make upgrading easier. Because, you know, if you're listening to this, if you read the site, you're probably an enthusiast or like have some, you know, desire to get into PCs, and so all of these builds are pretty extensible, and you can use them as like a starting point. And for instance, in the 500 build, we put one stick of Ripjaws, one 8 gig stick, because it makes it a little bit easier to upgrade. It would also fit in our budget, but you can just throw in another 8 gig stick, and now you have 16 gigs. Yeah. So, little things like that we try to account for in each of the builds.
Yeah. All right. So the build guides, you can go check those out if you want. H1Z1 did launch this week. Brandon mentioned that he had played it. They had massive server issues right when it launched. Nobody could really log in for a while. Like most server issues, very rarely people were getting in. And then, because people were streaming it like right away and actually in the game, but then most people I saw, at least judging from my Twitter feed, were not successfully getting in. Also saw some responses from the devs basically saying we're adding more servers. So they had some issues, obviously, with servers on day one, and not the best for an early access title. They're not the best thing. It's already early access. So then there was massive lag on those servers as well, which they then put fixes out for. And then there were the pay-to-win accusations, which flooded Reddit, of course. They put enough pressure on Sony that they are offering refunds on the game if you feel like you've been cheated. As far as the pay to win side of it, basically, there was supposed to be guns. Supposed to be like guns and ammo in these airdrops, and I guess there weren't, is what I'm reading it. So the airdrops, I'm not seeing how much they were, but yeah, I mean, I am kind of the feeling that if you bought into an early access zombie survival title, and no matter how much they've streamed it on Twitch and prepped for it and all that, you kind of know what you're getting to a little bit. I mean, I don't know. That's just my feeling.
I think this is just it's a good example of how you really should take early access seriously, even though I think some of the companies that put out early access games are not taking it seriously. Like if something's on early access, you really do need to take it, and if you buy it, be ready to deal with bugs and like mechanics changing and all sorts of things, because it really isn't a final product. So right. I guess the lesson is that if you're angry about pay to win or anything else with the game, it's like, well, that's the point of early access, or like the ideal of it is that they can put out a game and then the hardcore community tests it before it's ready for mass consumption.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not supposed to just be, hey, this game is coming out earlier than you thought it was. Like yeah. It's
like as far as this pay to win thing too, the details of this are kind of like being misconstrued incredibly as well. I haven't played the game, to like full disclosure, but the thing is the airdrops, so you can buy these airdrops and they'll come by, but there's no guaranteeing you even get the thing, let alone that it has uber useful stuff every time. You could get killed on the way to it. Like I don't know, it's like it's not really pay to win as much as it's, you know, pay to have a chance to get stuff to help you win, just like other.
Like I said, my problem with the game was that I didn't find anything. So I mean, I wouldn't recommend it right now because of bugs, or just if it wasn't bugged, not like not being able to get loot in an hour of playing it, not even like something simple and basic, mm-hmm. is just wasn't fun for me. So I didn't even get to the point where I had to worry about pay to win airdrops, because I never even got there.
So there's a lot of bugs, a lot of problems right now. They are patching around the clock. I personally feel like super bad. Like you know, Brandon's being honest. It's not a finished game. It's pretty buggy. There's a lot of lag and stuff right now. I feel really bad for Jimmy, who's a friend of ours, but, you know, they put out an early access game. Like, we'll have a write-up on it next week as well. So,
I think the one good thing, though, and I for all that Sony or other companies do, and they put out a game that's not necessarily what people thought it would be or things like that, I do think that they win points for at least being available and, like, personal. The fact that that John Smedley is, like, posts to Reddit on his own account, mm-hmm. is on his own Twitter account. You know, you've got Jimmy, and, like, Jimmy's answering questions on his own account. It's like, you can at least see these are real people and they are reading all of the concerns. And it's not like, you know, it's not like there's this conspiracy to make this game that sucks away everyone's money and is pay to win. It's like, these guys probably want, I mean, these guys want it to be a great game. I don't think it's there yet, but I have faith that with how hard they've worked on it, that, like, this is clearly not the finished experience. It's not what they want.
True. And I don't think, obviously, it hasn't been a very positive for those guys, like, at all. It's been mostly negative press. But on the other hand, I have seen so many streamers, people on my Twitter feed, be like, I'm having a blast playing H1Z1. So, I mean, you know, AJ said he is actually having fun with it. So, you know, we'll see.
And at the early stage of a game, sometimes it can be hard to determine what is what you don't like because it's a bug and what you don't like because the mechanic is bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, hopefully they fix it up. I'd like to give it a try at some point here. I actually liked my time in DayZ quite a bit. I haven't played it. Again, DayZ was also straight up broke for many months, so.
Still, like, is in some ways. Is.
Yeah.
That hasn't stopped it from being a success.
On to more pre-order madness, and one of the most crazy pre-order schemes ever devised is Evolve, a game that many people are very hyped for, including members of the staff here at KBMod. But they have five versions of pre-order, basically, that you can get for PC. But then on the Xbox version, it will actually shortcut your need to grind XP for certain things, like the different monsters and that kind of thing. So again, as Brandon said when we were talking about what we were playing, just don't pre-order things. Just don't do it. Unless you're 100% behind that product. So there's a $60 version. This is the worst thing of this, I think. I don't know why I feel this is shitty, because it's a free game that you're giving you, but so you pre-purchase Evolve, you get a copy of Left 4 Dead 1.
I think has Left 4 Dead not been free on Steam before?
Yes. Also, it's from 2008. Like, I realize that Turtle Rock did it as well, but it's like,
but why is that a pre-order bonus? Why not just make it a bonus?
Like,
if you buy Evolve, you get Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead's a great game.
I don't know why this bugs me so much, but it's just like, this is a 7-year-old game at this point. Like, and you're just like, hey, you can pre-order the $80 deluxe.
I can tell you why it bugs you. Because it costs them the exact same to make it a pre-order bonus versus just a bonus for anyone buying the game. Cost them the exact same because everyone already owns Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. Like, I just... you can pre-purchase the $80 version, which comes with the Season Pass and Left 4 Dead. I love how the way PC Gamer phrases this in the article that I'm reading this from, too. And then it says Left 4 Dead, and then in parentheses, the zombie game from 2008. Like, they have it in each one. Or you can pay $100 for the Monster Rage version, which gives you Left 4 Dead, the Season Pass, an extra playable... See, this is the ridiculous thing. If you pay $100, you literally get content that you can't get any other way. That is another playable thing in the game, which could affect the game.
I'm guessing you can maybe grind for it?
I mean, maybe, but it's just like...
But yeah, I agree with the sentiment.
Like, On day one, you get an extra monster, two more hunters, and four skins. I mean, skins, but still. Like, I just... It's just shitty. And, like, even... What the funny thing is here, a dude from Turtle Rock came out and was, like, trying to defend it, and basically did just throw 2K under the bus, like, at the end, which is really funny. Like, he said, ultimately, we make the games. We don't sell them. Like, he actually says that.
Yeah, I'm sure they had.
Yeah,
no,
it's definitely
2K. How that went down.
Yeah, so
I'm being sarcastic, by the way. They clearly have a say.
But anyway, so
also just, can we talk just for a second about how they are doing an open beta, but they have already gone gold.
Yes, they've already sold 500,000 or whatever.
I have an evolved beta key, so that's a thing.
And they also had all this DLC made before the game came out, which is always like a shitty thing to hear. Like, it's just a shitty. So, I mean, it's just a crappy practice, no matter how you slice it. I know everybody does it. I know that, you know, Battlefield famously was working on DLC, Battlefield 4, well, their game was just broken as fuck. So, I mean, you know, not the first time, but... God, it's just a shitty practice. Also, in big AAA launch news, GTA 5 for PC delayed once again for March 24th. Now is when the release will be.
Don't care.
The best part about that though is that they said we did it to smooth out bugs and optimize. So I'm fine. Yeah. I'm always happy if that's why you did.
I feel like GTA is one game that does have a really solid reputation in terms of releasing a finished product that works.
4 was a little
okay, but 4 is a long time ago. I'm saying, yeah. You know, their console releases have been pretty solid, and since 4, they've had a pretty good track record.
So
the fact that this has been delayed more than once now, like, the thing is, if it's not good, they're going to catch hell for it.
Yeah. And I think it will be, because if it's anything like the PS4 version, fucking way better than the previous gen. So, and this will look even better, and it's got the first person mode, etc., etc. So they also put out some pre-order bonuses, which gets you a bunch of in-game cash and also a free Rockstar game, but you have to get it through Rockstar's store. The bad part about the free Rockstar game is that 90% of you out here, if you've gone through any Steam sales, already own all the Rockstar games on Steam. Because, like, they get so discounted. But
can we also, real quick, because this PC Gamer article has their system specs that they announced. Their minimum system specs. I actually, like, they make perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum system spec is a 9800 GT. I fully believe that card is the lowest card that will actually run the game, like that will actually open the executable.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. That sounds really honest.
65 gigs hard drive space. About normal these days. Also.
And like recommended specs, 660, GTX 660. Makes perfect sense.
Well, they've got their minimum here is like the. What the standard was for a very long time until some of these next gen things started coming out, the Q6600 and the 9800 GT. Like, that was across the board, that was your minimum for like most things for several years. So, props to them for not exaggerating anything. Like I said, the only people I ever believe on system requirements are fucking CD Projekt Red. Their games are gonna beat you up no matter what. But you'll have to wait till March 24th. I was actually pretty upset by that delay. Not like mad, but I was just like, I really want to play GTA 5 on PC. I was like, yes, it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks is going to be out, but no. Now I got to wait 2 weeks.
Okay.
That's okay, though. Some quick stories. Lose my voice. Quick stories. Hotline Miami 2 banned in Australia. Not a surprise to anyone outside of Australia. Or probably inside.
Definitely even less of a surprise to people inside Australia. I think it was something about implied sexual violence, basically like a rape scene of some kind.
They actually said they toned that way down like last year. because they caught hell for it in a build.
I hope so. You can't get away with that shit.
But
it's just interesting because the game itself is not, you know, it's a 2D game, and it's not like it's got tremendous graphics. No. So I feel like you've really got to read into what's going on because you're talking about, you know, you're literally seeing the pixels.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact context was, but that's just what I read.
Yeah. So the devs came out and were like, well, just pirate it. They were just like straight up. It's not in the article I have in here, but they did come out, the guys at the developers behind it. They were just basically like, get it any way you can then. And like, if you can't buy it. Then
I think those devs are ones that really, they really fully understand how important it is to just have the game in the hands of people, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. those people in Australia, like, they can't legally buy the game. So there's no harm in telling them, like, yeah, go ahead and pirate it. Like, what do we care? We can't sell it to you. Yeah. So I think like that they earn enough community goodwill by saying something like that. And that'll make that many more people in the US and Europe and places that can buy it. Because they're like, these devs are cool. Like, you know, I wanna see what this game's about.
Also, in a nostalgia shot, especially from anyone way back in the day as a PC gamer, Grim Fandango Remaster, fully HD'd up and all that stuff. That game is a classic, for those that don't know.
I need to play it.
One of the first Double Fine games, one of the best soundtracks in gaming history. Grim Fandango. It's also hilarious. Obviously, it's Double Fine, so it's going to be pretty funny. The pre-order is now available from Good Old Games, at least. I don't know if it's anywhere else right now. But Grim Fandango, man, it's a classic. It's going to be $15. So, I mean, you know, it's not gonna tax your system or anything, but HD version of that game, people have been waiting for a re-release of Grim Fandango for a very long time, so check it out. Also, back when Kickstarter was coming really into fashion, there were several RPGs that were crowdfunded, like old school RPGs that were crowdfunded all at once and all made a lot of money. There was Wasteland 2, there was Divinity, Original Sin, both of which ended up being absolutely tremendous on launch. And then there was Pillars of Eternity, which is sort of the follow-up to some of the old-school... God, I'm blanking on the name of them now. The Infinity Engine games, like Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale. These are all very classic games. Pillars of Eternity is now pretty much finished, and it's going to release on March 26th. So if you like the old-school RPGs, tons of depth and storytelling, and it's probably going to be, I believe they said 100 plus hours of gameplay, just like Wasteland 2, so big. That will be out March 26th. I would assume it's going to be a full $60 game with that much content. They also have like an all-star dev team behind that thing. I watched a lot of the dev diaries of this game while it was in development. Pretty psyched for that. I loved Baldur's Gate back then, so... pretty psyched for that game. Also, on February 5th, Dark Souls 2 gets a patch, real big patch actually, before the Scholar of the First Sin new DirectX 11 edition of the game comes out. I think is in March, or near the end of March. The new character will be put into the game at that point. God, the full patch notes are actually incredibly massive on this. Yeah, new character, Scholar of First Sin. A bunch of changes to Covenants. Hades M wanted to be on for this because there's no point in me even reading That's through a big all old this patch. Shit. It's a huge patch. To me, it looks like basically the entire Scholar of the First Sin edition minus the graphic and audio overhauls. So, like, that's basically what it looks like to me. Yeah, pretty cool that they're doing that. I'm definitely going to go back to the game again, probably for a third time through. Really excited for that. Adjusted prices for different items. This is crazy. I'm just like looking through it right now. Bunch of actually game-changing stuff in here. So you can go back to Dark Souls 2 a year later. as I was saying to Blacklight, I think before we were even on the air, I'm totally okay with them doing a different version of the game that you have to pay to buy already in a year after it came out, because that game came out on PS3 and 360 only. It seems like a game, much like GTA 5, where a remaster would actually help it quite a bit on hardware that could handle it finally. So, like, that version will cost money, but it will be DirectX 11 instead of DirectX 9 or whatever it was. So you'll get much better graphics, much better quality. Yeah. So very cool of From to do that. Not as cool to charge, but later on for that edition, but, you know, I'll still buy it. All right, that is it for the news, guys. We're going to be back with some viewer questions in 2 minutes. See you then. How's the G1C4 for subscribing? During the news there. Some good spam,
welcome,
too.
Welcome.
Solid spam.
Solid spam. Sure. Yeah, well spam done, stamp. Community.
What's up?
Timestamp.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Dan. One. Get your shit together.
So about this taking Katie's in on a trial run. Whatever. That's enough.
Ban him. Go the full opposite direction of what he wants.
Yeah.
Really hammer that home.
Never going to happen, just straight up.
You ain't never going to get it. You ain't never going to get it.
All right. Yeah, like, I mean, normally I'd be pretty incensed if a game a year old put out a quote-unquote remaster, but given that you made it for some really old hardware first, I'm okay.
I mean, they did the same with The Last of Us.
Yeah.
It's like, considering it's
a
just
weird
like,
time.
It's a console generation gap, mm-hmm. or leap, and it's actually the age of HD remakes, so
yeah,
kind of makes sense.
Breezy Breeksy. Breezy? Is it? Do we pronounce it Breezy? I bet we do. Breezy Breezy. Thank you for the sub. Brandon, you've trained them well. Trained them so well. The spam is.
See, look at this. So good.
No. Right. You guys have Twitter guys, so I'll just be texting my 10 bitches and indulging in copious weed. What a life you lead. All right, we are back. Viewer question time. I actually didn't get that many questions this week, just overall. Also, I'm looking back at the Twitter feed now. Some really good comments to APL. Still streaming it. James D. writes... And actually, he sent this in last week, but he sent it in like during the podcast, but I liked it so much. I was hoping we would have more people on because I want to know what Scott has broken, or John. I can picture John breaking something expensive. What is the most expensive thing you have broken out of rage? I have just broken a laptop during a match of competitive CSGO. The laptop cost me $600 and is now costing me $250 to repair.
That's probably the worst feeling, because if you had a really expensive laptop, let's say it was like $3,000 and mm-hmm. it cost you $250 to repair, it's like, okay, yeah, it sucks, but at least it wasn't that, like, you paid $250. This, you're literally caught, like, it almost costs you half the cost of the laptop just to repair it because of your mistake. That has to feel so much worse.
Yeah, I...
That's pretty bad. I never really... outright broke something. Like, it was never, it was more like I was a strong contributing factor to its eventual breakage. I used to just kind of, like, I was never really even that mad, but at my old job I was so bored that I'd be sitting there playing Hearthstone and then some RNG would happen and I would just have fun just going on a fucking rampage, because I was literally in an office, a secured locked office at like 10 o'clock at night by myself, no one around. I'm just like, I'm just going to rage for a while and just like pick up an office chair and throw it. And these office chairs would never, I would just like You know, the just like the one I'm sitting in now. Just
you weren't actually that mad. You're just like...
No, I wasn't. I just it was just honestly like... something to do. That's how fucking out of my mind bored I was at that job. So I would just like toss the chairs across the room, be like, motherfucker, just like punch them in the back so that they like flipped over hard. And then they never really outright broke. Like I never threw one and it just like shattered. I never like threw it into like a monitor or something that could break. But like the chairs would eventually go like all the time and need to be replaced. I'd sit there watching be wheeled out and just be like, yeah, it's probably, I should stop doing that. Like,
I just love that you weren't even that mad. You're just like, no, I'm gonna throw this fucking chair.
I get like, I'm not gonna lie, I get mad at video games, I get frustrated at video games, but I never get so mad, like so blind rage that I just like break an object, you know? Like the closest I can come to is like Dark Souls has kicked my ass so much that I broke both the shoulder buttons from permanent shield usage on my fucking Razer Sabertooth. But I think that's more that controller is just poorly made.
I'm trying to think if I ever broke anything. I'm pretty sure I did, probably in high school. But I can't remember. I did do a lot of the I have broken headset. I broke a headset playing WoW once. Because I was an officer in a guild, and I was a very angry officer back then.
I bet. Bet you were.
And we were failing at something. I forget what boss it was, but I just fucking... It was like a $20, if that, Walmart headset. Like, I didn't even know anything about hardware at the time. It was like 2006. Like, I just bought this thing because I needed a mic for this game. And, like, I just slammed that thing and snapped it in half. I was big on the slamming my mouse, but somehow my G500, like, is totally fine. But that thing has been wailed on, like, from CSGO and mainly CSGO, actually. But, yeah.
I played WoW briefly with a guy who had this big solid oak desk and a screwdriver, and he would just fucking, it was, probably wasn't oak, but it was a big solid like wood desk, like something that, right, not something he bought at IKEA. And whenever something would frustrate him, which was all the time, he was so easy to piss off, he would just start jamming it into the desk and just start chipping away at the desk. So he would like take pictures of it and put them on our guild forums of just like all these, this huge like just field of divots in his desk. It just looked like the surface of Mars because he was just fucking stabbing it with a screwdriver. He was wasn't even a good Rayleigh. He was a fucking shitty tank. Fuck that guy. Thought he had the right to get mad. He didn't.
I used to punch my desk all the time. I'm very surprised I never broke my hand or anything.
Yeah,
I would get really mad. Desk. Yeah, Bob has the famous desk punch picture. He had like one of those IKEA, just like bigger IKEA tables, and he just went, there's just like a crater in it from him punching it once. Like he got so mad at whatever it was. I don't know that I've ever broken. I'm trying desperately to think if I've broken anything in rage before.
You know what?
Since I was a kid, really.
It's not very expensive, but I did actually break one of the USB ports, one of the external USB ports, like on the front, the front of my case, because I was playing Smash 4 on my 3DS when it came out, and I had it plugged in. I was just sitting at my desk, and I had the charger plugged in in the USB charger, and I forgot that it was plugged in, and some fucking bullshit Little Mac garbage happened, and I just fucking closed my DS and threw it, and it just ripped. It ripped like the casing off of the USB port on the way out. So I did. It wasn't even like I was
the tamest story.
Yeah, it really wasn't that. I wasn't even that mad. It was just kind of like, get this shit away from me. And I just forgot it was plugged in. So that's, I don't really know how I'm going to fix
USB
that
port.
Yeah, it's the worst. I'm sure Scott's got some, broke some shit rage stories. And I'm sure John does. Knowing John, he broke some fucking $3,000 fucking controller that used to belong to an emperor.
I used to punch my CRT. When I had a CRT, I would punch the CRT.
Oh, man.
Because I was like 99% sure that punching the CRT would more result in pain on my end than me breaking a CRT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you hurt yourself more than you hurt the CRT.
I still have the CRT. It's out in my garage right now. It weighs like 65 pounds, dude. It's fucking just a monster.
So big. I need to find a CRT out here.
Yeah. So
I don't have a good story. I take care of my stuff.
You also don't rage.
Big surprise.
Yeah, you don't rage.
Oh, not really.
You simmer. Brandon simmers. Yeah.
I channel my anger through passive aggressive comments.
Like,
I mean,
Brandon and WoW is always like, he's gonna whisper you, or he's gonna say something in chat where it's like sounds like a helpful suggestion, but deep down it's more like fuck all of you for like not doing this correctly.
I mean, Brandon thinks he doesn't have this rage. He thinks that he's above breaking objects out of anger, and he's gonna think back to this moment while he's climbing a clock tower one day.
It's all built up.
I can do better. If I ever rage, I'll do better than breaking my mouse or my keyboard.
Yeah,
it'll be something much more grandiose.
I mean, I'm actually super surprised I never broke this G500, because I would just take that thing and like a dumb death in CS:GO and just slam it down, and then it was fine. But
there you go.
Shout out to Logitech for making a product that lived through quite a bit. This next question comes from Twitter. At Mellenbacher asks, when will my dad come back from the store?
Around the same time Scott will return to the podcast.
Yeah.
And they're both going to have so many cigarettes.
Yeah. Hate to break this to you, but he didn't go to the store, Mellenbacher.
He might have on his way out to abandon you.
Yeah.
Permanent.
He might have gone to the store, but he didn't say he was coming back.
Yeah, he never said that. That's like, yeah, you gotta go with his word, and he never said that. He just said, I'm running to the store with a suitcase.
Yeah, he was going to the store to stock up on some things for the long drive across the country.
Away from you.
To his other family on the West
Coast. And your terrible ingrate mother.
He just had to insult his mom.
that's all from your dad's perspective. I think your mom is a fantastic lady. She didn't deserve what she got, which was abandoned and left with you.
From chat, dads are my favorite mythological creature.
Your dad did seem like he left that open-ended. next question. At Zen6 asks, with AGDQ behind us, I ask you, what life events should now be speedran? My suggestion is childbirth.
I'm sure there are some that are easier than others. Isn't that like a thing you'd be in labor for like a jillion years?
C-section sort of is speedrunning childbirth, is it not?
Yeah, well, but you're in labor for a while before it gets to that usually.
I would imagine a C-section is a whole different speedrun category. Kind of like,
you have C-section and natural birth, two different categories.
Yeah, that's
C-section
definitely
C-section and natural birth is like Ocarina of Time world record versus Ocarina of Time no skip.
Yeah. It's like Dark Souls 2 glitch percent versus, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. This is actually like could get pretty complex.
Yeah, I mean, there is a ton of RNG involved in birth, like
natural birth percent.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of other weddings.
Oh, that'd be great. Weddings go on for fucking ever.
Yeah, dude.
I would know. I'm a minister.
You are, actually.
I am an ordained minister.
John speedran his wedding. It was fantastic.
Yep.
That's how you do it. You don't want to be sitting around. Everybody wants to get to the goddamn hors d'oeuvres.
I think our ceremony was like 20 minutes or something like that. So, not bad.
Now, the thing is, what happens when TaskBot starts helping with speedrunning births?
Do you see chat in the placenta or something? What's going to happen here? I don't know.
this is getting dark. Not.
Yeah, this got real dark.
Getting gross.
I don't know. What else could we do?
I think childbirth is my favorite answer to this.
Wisdom teeth removal. Speed runs.
Well, that kind of makes sense because it's one guy who's doing that a lot.
He knows how to save frames, I'm sure.
Because like your wedding ceremony, ideally, you're only doing a handful of times in your life.
Yeah.
And graduation like ceremony is from chat. Times. That's a great
graduation ceremony.
Bar and bat mitzvahs.
See, thing about weddings is Bob went for 100% for sure. His ceremony, Bob's ceremony was like full on Catholic deal. So it was like an hour. It was like an hour and something.
Childbirth.
So long, which just made me want to get way more drunk afterwards. Basically,
I'll tell you what, speed running a funeral.
Ooh, yeah. Get that shit over with.
Because, I mean, the person doesn't care how long it takes.
No, honestly, yeah, last funeral I went to was like a forever hours. It was so long.
Yeah, oh, I've been to. I've only been to like one or two Catholic funerals, like legit. It was probably a couple hours, like 2 or 3 hours. It was brutal.
It takes a long time. You're gonna sit around and you're gonna be sad for a while and just be surrounded by sad people for a while. It sucks.
From chat, speedrun getting arrested.
How quickly you can get arrested, or how fast they like process you and tackle you? Do you have to like keep getting arrested to try to get better times? Like, man, those last cops were so slow, because that's almost pure RNG on your part. Well, you could probably strategize it a bit by like figuring out which counties and which like precincts have the best response and process time, and
like
which ones are like the fastest runners. Who's really quick with the cuffs, you know?
Getting arrested is definitely a life event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been arrested a few times. It's definitely a life event each time.
I think you could speed run everyday events, like speed run going to the store and sort of just be like, you know, like in GTA style, you know, you're running down to the garage and then you're bowling over curbs and stuff as you drive.
Trying to get there.
Cutting corners. Don't understand, officer. Skipping over that sidewalk really cuts down on my time. It adds up.
I mean, like the traffic RNG too. It's like you have to optimize your routes and everything.
It's true. You'd have to be going at like 3 a.m. every time.
Yeah. Some good categories here.
Yeah.
That's when I'm going to the store anyway, personally.
So this next question is from one of the great email names.
This guy's real name.
This question comes from Captain Von Hugeload.
which is his God-given baby name.
Who's actually a very long-time listener. What are your favorite hot new sex tips of 2015? Mine is dipping my dick in a vat of mayo and crying myself to sleep. Which seems like you just wake up with a rancid penis. Like I don't think that's a positive thing.
Look, not all of us get to wake up every morning with immaculate dicks like yours, Dan.
I'm sorry. I don't know why you're rubbing substances on them.
Mr. Condescending Cock.
Mine is perfect and shiny in the morning.
Look at my dick that descended from heaven. Landed squarely between my legs, placed by angels with a banner behind it that says Dan's dick, while a choir sang. And there was no mayo to be found anywhere.
Not a drop.
How dare you judge?
What I can't tell though is he talking about like does this technique help him get sex in the first place or like have more enjoyable sex? I can't tell.
No, his tip is that's the move. Like that's it. that's what he does. Like,
he brings a woman home.
He probably ejaculates from doing this. Maybe it's even when he wakes up, like he wakes up and remembers what he did last night, and then he just. And then
so how do you explain? That's like you thing. Meet a nice lady at a bar, and you bring her home, and then you're like, "I know we just met, but this is what we
Let
have
me tell
to
her to
do.
Go to the fridge."
No, there's no woman, there's no bar. It's literally just Captain McHugeload and a jar of mayonnaise. That's why it's such a great tip, because you can do it with like $3.50 or however much a jar of mayo costs.
Now, here's,
you don't need
here's,
to actually get a willing
question.
Participant.
Here's the question, though, is how many how many times can you use the same vat of mayonnaise?
Ideally, once.
I feel,
but not we're well, not all rich.
I feel like what you do is you have a vat of mayo that is separate and has like a label on it, perhaps that says Dick Mayo. And then you have mayo that you also use for sandwiches, which is
mayo,
a separate thing.
Light mayo, fuck mayo.
Yeah, it's your fuck mayo. You gotta have a separate fuck mayo jar. Because
I don't know
if
I can handle
that,
three jars of mayo.
There is no
fridge.
Way I'm gonna make a sandwich with my fuck mayo. Okay, no. That's not gonna happen. I'm gonna use regular mayo.
But the next big sex move of 2016 might be making a sandwich with your fuck mayo.
With my fuck mayo, yeah.
Yeah. But I just don't think the world's ready for that yet.
Yeah, I don't know. some miracle and, fuck mayo.
And of course the light fuck mayo, so four jars.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you want to go for the skinny ones.
Plant Game, thank you for subscribing. I want to see like a YouTube skit or something of a guy bringing a chick home and then being like, hold up, go get the mayo. This is what I need.
This is all right. When I retire from Twitch, I'm just going to be start amassing money now. And I'm going to open a porn studio and I'm going to start the niche of porn where the guy comes in with a pizza or other food item. Could be mayo. I don't know who delivers mayo. He sits down on the couch and he opens it up and boom, there's his dick. And she's like, ooh, dick pizza. And she goes to start stroking it. And he just shoves her out of the way and just starts mercilessly fucking the pizza. And then he just ejaculates all the fuck over it, ruins it permanently, and then
that's it. That's the end of it.
And then slowly consciousness returns to his eyes. Like he clearly wasn't he was miles away when he was doing this. And then he just realizes that he like looks around all scared, he just bolts. Yeah. Like he just realizes that what he's done is
highly
illegal.
I just love it. It's so emotional for him. After he dips his dick in it, that he then has to cry himself to sleep. He's in a state afterwards.
We all assume that Scott Fisher is in the same boat, although not necessarily with mayonnaise.
I think like the fact that he cries himself to sleep, I have to assume he's using a new vat every time, because like I feel like he's like overcome with emotion as he breaks the seal.
He needs the seal.
Puts a knife in there and whips it around a little, mixes it up first. Like a whole ritual he's got. He's nude the whole time, obviously.
You always have to puncture a seal. Like, it's not the 1900s. It's not the early 1900s. You don't need a virgin tub of mayo every time you have sex.
But I mean, if you're crying yourself to sleep afterward, like, you're not doing that after you've used the same mayonnaise second, third time.
Yeah, this is special, you know? Special.
Very special.
All right. Last question comes from Brad via the email. Ate KB Munch or Die is going to be our food podcast spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering how I can get a grill to cook for me. I tried giving her propane and charcoal briquettes, but I just can't seem to get a spark going. Please respond, as I don't know if I'll be able to survive on Instafoods when I'm out in the world by myself. Tips for getting a grill to cook for you. Stop using fuck mayo. Number one. Stop using
you just
fuck
can't.
Mayo. Yeah. I mean,
it's not a good idea.
That
Take
is,
it from us.
She's never going to be so committed to you that she's going to cook if you're still on the fuck mayo train. I feel like that's not satisfying her needs at all.
You also, I mean, I can't tell exactly from the context of this email, but grill has two different meanings, and I think you are conflating those two meanings.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I?
No,
I don't know. I'm talking about
he is. Okay.
He is. He's trying to get a grill to cook for him, and I can't tell, does he need instructions for how to operate a grill, like, you know, George Foreman style, or is he saying he wants a grill, like a female, to cook him food? Maybe a grill can use a grill.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been very specific here.
But a grill can't use itself.
No, that's true. I
A
mean,
grill can use herself for things that aren't cooking.
it's true.
See,
That's, and that doesn't help.
he says I try giving her propane and charcoal briquettes, but it's like, okay, he could be talking about giving a female these items, but he could also just be personifying
He's
like the grill
setting.
that he really likes.
Maybe the grill he's giving these things to is the female kind of grill, but she doesn't have a grill to put them on.
That might be his problem.
Here's give your grill a grill, and then you can get your grill to cook for you.
There you go. Give your grill a grill. Sage advice.
Unless she just doesn't like you, in
Which is
which
also
case
possible.
you're just gonna starve. She's not
You're
cooking shit for
fucked at
you.
that point.
Well, and I mean, you always do have Hot Pockets. Don't forget that.
You do. And you can have sex with
Not
those
touching
too.
it. You're trying to trigger me. I see your bait.
I'm like a
I will
grill.
not
You
bite.
can have sex with Hot Pockets. Maybe a light splattering of fuck mayo on the top of your Hot Pocket if you're really feeling saucy.
We're done here.
You have to wait a long time for that Hot Pocket to cool down, or you're gonna have a fucked up dick.
Well, maybe you put the mayo on there. Maybe it's some sort of insulation against that.
To be fair, mayo is usually refrigerated, so
True. True.
that's why mayo is the true sex food of 2015.
Sex food. Real sex foods.
You guys are kind of you're at this point after this cast, I'm gonna be ruined for the names of the Hot Pockets because now I'm gonna think like sausage, egg, and cheese. Yeah, it is.
it is. That's right. All
Use some
right.
ham and
And
cheese.
on that note, that is the end of the podcast this week. Thank you for watching an intimate cast, a three-way, if you will, this week on episode 173. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at NimnopsTV, at BlackLeadAttack, and at Volition. Follow KBMod at KBModGaming. You check out the website, KBMod.com. We shall see you guys next week, same time, same place. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use. And make sure to leave all your reviews under the name C Hodes. That reminds you all every week.
Some of us also are going to be at PAX South next week. So if you're
Yes.
listening or watching and you happen to be going to PAX South, come say hi.
Yep, yeah, about three or four of us will be out there. My wife will be there. I won't. She will be though. So yeah, we'll
Don't
see.
stow your tickets.
We will probably have a podcast next week. I have to work out who will be on it because the Twitch bros will all be at South. So we shall see, but yeah.
Maybe Scott can come on and redeem
Yeah.
himself.
Maybe Scott could be on the podcast next week. That'd be great for episode 174. So see you guys 10 p.m. Eastern time next week. Same time, same place. Later.
Bye.
Yatta!